Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. He was loud. He was different. Brash. Blunt. Straight to the point. You might even say God broke the mold when John came forth from the womb. He looked strange in every way possible. What he wore, what he ate, the weird custom of baptizing people in the Jordan River. Yeah, sure, we have that story of old Naaman in the Old Testament, but wasn't there better waters to bathe in? And to many ears, John's message was anything but welcoming. He didn't care who he was talking to, whether you be rich and affluent or a peasant. He carried the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John did not censor himself like so many people do these days, and no one was off limits when it came to his aim. John was the proverbial bull in a china shop, and he didn't care how many teacups he broke. He not only had the spirit of Elijah upon him, but maybe you could say he even had a double portion of that of Elisha that came after Elijah. John came to cut down the mountains. He came to fill in the valleys. That's poetic language about cutting down those who are proud and lifting up the humble. All in all, he was sent to prepare the way of the Lord, to make the Lord known. Everyone needed to be warned, so no one was off limits. And so John warned. He condemned all sinners alike. Matthew chapter 3 tells us that John spoke harshly to the Sadducees and Pharisees. But Luke tells us that the message was not just for them, but for everyone who came out to see this spectacle taking place in the wilderness by the River Jordan. Who warned you of the wrath to come, you brood of vipers? Either way you slice it, John, being as blunt as he was right. Sinners have a father who is not the Father of heaven. Until you and I are brought to Christ by the very gospel itself, we are in the clutches of Satan. We might as well own it and be called, just as John says. Even Jesus himself testifies of who the Father, or who our first sinful father is. That's a first impression, wouldn't you say? To be called a brood of vipers, children of a snake. John's ministry is not what many would call in this day and age successful. John, you have to tone it down. You're too harsh. You aren't getting to know them on their level at all. You're too judgy. All it's doing is scaring them and making them hate the church. In your clothes, John, when will you get with the times? How can you win people for the gospel that way? But ask yourselves, what was John sent to do? Nowhere in Scripture does God say that John was supposed to be winsome and charming. Rather, he was to be faithful, to go before the face of the very Son of God to prepare his way. What may be considered harsh to our modern ears are the very words that the sinful people of that day needed to hear and still need to hear today. And all Israel came out to see him. And by God's grace, many not only saw, but heard with their ears and believed what John was preaching. They were brought to their knees in repentance. But that is just half of what John was sent to do as far as preparing people is concerned. What we miss often is that John always pointed to someone else coming. One who would be greater than he. One who would grant forgiveness of those sins that the people confessed as they were being baptized in that muddy river. John literally pointed to the one in whom to trust and to believe for life. John was knocking everyone down a peg or two, but in this fashion of preaching repentance, John was preparing them for the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, calling them and all of us to a life of repentance and faith in the one who was to come, who has come and will come again. So his preaching was twofold, ferocious when it came to calling people to repent of their sins, because he knew the time was near. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And at that same time, he was pointing people to trust in the Messiah. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And John never wavered from those two messages that need to go hand in hand, law and gospel. This is still the message that the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ are called to proclaim to your very ears now and until the Lord comes again in all glory. Pastors are not supposed to be reeds shaken by the wind. They are not supposed to be men dressed in soft clothing. Rather, they're to be defenders of the truth. In other words, they are called to be men, to stand in the stead of Christ in their churches, to which they've been called, and to serve as the mouthpiece of Christ Jesus himself. They cannot and must not give any ground to false teaching. Pastors are not called to preach anything but the very word of God, and hence why they are called stewards. What the pastors have to give are not of themselves, but what they give is Christ Jesus. And John was no different. Jesus himself does not alter John's message at all, because John's message was actually Jesus' message. Jesus preaches the same message as he goes from town to town. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And pastors still today are called and ordained by God to preach that message. John would not bend or shake. So the crowd, not all the crowd anyway, liked the words that came from that he proclaimed. And so they sought what they could do to break him. Herod's wife, she hated John. So she had Herod throw John into prison, where we find him in our reading today. Now we don't know how long John languished in prison before he sent his disciples to ask this question that we have recorded for us in Matthew 11. Some would say John is doing exactly what he's been doing all along, preparing people for the Messiah's appearing. And he sent these disciples of his, who had been by his side even into his days of prison, and he sent them to the very one who was able to give comfort and peace in times of all tribulations. Others see John having a bit of a crisis in asking that question. Did I hook my wagon to the right horse? Are you the one who was promised to come? Did I do my job well? Did I do it right? Did I prepare the people for you? Why do you look so different than what I've preached about your coming? Because John did have a picture of Jesus that he preached. That he would come with his winnowing fork in his hand. Where is that, Jesus? We won't ever know the full motivation of John's sending, but I assume both of these ideas have some merit to one degree or another. John was a man, after all. He's the greatest to be born of woman. And as great as Jesus says John is, John's not God. He still fell and could fall to the lies of Satan, to insecurity, to depression and doubt. Maybe he was depressed. He hadn't seen with his own eyes what he had preached about. He had really not seen Jesus with that winnowing fork in his hand coming in judgment. But what he heard from the disciples had to calm his heart. He heard the reports of what Jesus had been doing. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the poor have good news preached to them. These are things that only the Messiah would do. John was tough, unrelenting in his preaching, but still human. So he found peace in the ones whose words stood forever. And we can find an example in John himself for us in our own time. You might find yourself in your own type of depression and doubt. Perhaps you may even call it your prism. You probably have your own type of insecurities. And, of course, look to John for guidance. You can always do what John did. You can pray to Jesus. You can ask him the same question. Are you the one that I'm supposed to wait on? Are you the one coming for me? You can ask him that same question. Are you here with me in my darkest hours, even when despair takes hold of me to the point of death? Take comfort that Jesus is approachable. He who took up children into his very arms takes you up. He takes time to answer your questions. He's best approached where he promises to be found. In his word, in his sacraments, the very mysteries of God, and also in your sinful pastor who faces these dilemmas with you. You are a child of the Heavenly Father, and when asking your dear Father, he responds in gentleness and merciful kindness. He does not point you to what you feel. He does not use feelings as a gauge for how close he is to you. If you want to see something get shaken by the wind, look to your feelings. But John directs John's disciples and us to what has been preached and what has been seen. Go and tell them what you hear and see. Tell your brother John. Tell him the objective, undeniable truth of what you have heard. Tell him of the reports that the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the poor have good news preached to them. Tell him by the words of Isaiah that the one who was promised to come is here. Don't doubt, but rejoice and believe. And knowing his Bible, I assume John was more than excited when his disciples came back and began reciting Isaiah 35 and Isaiah 61. But there is one phrase that does not get said. You see, Isaiah 61 also has this phrase, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to see the prisoners set free. Jesus does not say that to John. But Jesus does say, blessed is the man who is not offended by me. You see, being comforted by Jesus does not mean that all crosses will be removed from you. Some will suffer more under the cross than others in this life, and we know not why. John was stuck in prison. John was going to be a martyr, being killed by Herod at the direction of his niece and her mother. But John was given peace to bear his cross even unto his death. And John's proclamation of repentance for the forgiveness of sins in the Lamb of God continues to be proclaimed. John had hope given him through the testimony delivered to him by his disciples when they came back from Jesus. He had hope and thus rejoiced in Christ's word. And God's word is as real for you as it was for John. You have scripture at your very fingertip, even in the pew with you now. You can question Jesus all you desire, and you can hear his answers at any moment. His sacraments are also real and beyond touchy feelings. Every time the stewards of the mysteries of God administers them properly and the sacraments are delivered to you, you also receive Christ's love and his forgiveness. Every time his body and blood touch your tongue, you are cleansed of your sin. Rejoice and be glad. Among those born of women, no one is greater than John. But you, O Christians, are not merely born of woman. You were born again by the water and the word. You have been made a child of God. By the same repentance and faith which John proclaimed, you remain in God's family. You have seen the Lord's salvation. His mighty arm has been bared to you. Behold, the word made flesh. When you hear and heed the preaching of Christ, when you receive the sacraments that Christ has given to you and for you, you behold the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John is a prophet, but more than a prophet. He proclaimed the very message that servants of Christ still are to preach today. It's a message still for your good. He preached to the one to come. Repent and believe in the Lamb of God who has come and has marked you as his own, one redeemed. Christ's comfort for John is also for you. Your faith in Christ Jesus is built upon what you have heard and what you have seen, God's word and his sacraments. Find comfort and joy in these this day and always. Again, I say, rejoice. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit bless you and preserve you unto life everlasting. Amen.